sugarcoat shit. This is Renegade Talk Radio. Renegade Talk Radio.
Fellas, didn't get what you were hoping for from Santa Claus this year? Looking to add a little spice to things in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about an adventurous new adult toy or movie? Well, then we have an offer that you won't be able to resist. Go to toysforpleasure.vegas, and for a limited time, you'll get 20% off store-wide, and we'll even throw in free shipping for any order above $100. And no, we're not teasing. So check out toysforpleasure.vegas today and use special offer code BABE69 upon checkout and make sure all your adult fantasies come true with toysforpleasure.vegas today. Remember, use offer code BABE69, that's BABE69, to receive a 20% discount on your entire order. And give the gift that Santa forgot to give this year. Warning, the content you're about to hear contains spoilers. So if you have not watched the show, movie, or read the book in question, turn off your radio now, because there are spoilers. Spoilers ahead! Warning, warning, Danger Will Robinson. Spoilers ahead! Don't say you haven't been warned. Hello, hello, Renegade Nation. It's me, Naughty Nicole. And guess what? It's time for another Renegade Review. And this time around, well, we're going to be focusing on the Hollywood abortion that, well, pretty much they've been patting themselves on the back for a long time for being the moral center of America, that is Moonlight. Well, how do we become, well, us? Are we puzzles that have to be put together? You know, a mosaic of who we are from birth, with that picture just being revealed a little more every day, piece by piece? Are we clay to be molded? Are we shaped and molded and fashioned by age and experience until we become something that we never would have guessed? Or are we both? These are the questions that Moonlight looks to answer, and quite honestly, in my opinion, falls drastically short of answering any of them. Now, that's not to say that the movie isn't riveting or compelling, but I began my journey with this movie not quite knowing what to expect, and by the end, well, I was left with only one question. What the fuck did I just watch? Chiron was born into Miami's mean streets, although the movie doesn't really hint at this until about a third of the way through when you can actually see Miami on a police squad car. His mother is a crack addict, and his father, well, is nowhere to be found. The movie starts when Chiron, or as they call him at that point, Little, is roughly 10, possibly 11. After all, well, he is, well, Little. He's a quiet boy in a very loud world. He's soft in a place of hard. He's different, and everyone sees it. He's an easy target, and it's best for him to run, and that's exactly what he does. His feet hit asphalt so hot you can almost see it steam up on its own. He races through weeds, weaving round tires and boxes, with his pursuers hot on his heels. He dives into a derelict apartment building, trying door after door until he finds one that's open. He skids in, slams, and locks the door, but his pursuers, other kids, are pounding on the other side of the doors, hammering hard and furiously. And it stops. And for a moment, Little has a chance to take stock of the deserted ruin that he's in. The trash, the dust, the vials that once held drugs that promised to whisk you far away for, you know, an hour or so until they kind of stole you away for good. And then there's a knock. And then hands at the plywood in the window, tearing it down. And a man steps through. Skull cap on his head, diamonds in his ears. He's a tough man, But he's a quiet man, too. And he says, I'm about to get something to eat. And you're welcome to join me if you want. Now, Little doesn't speak, but he goes with the band, and he eats his food in silence. And a little bit later, they go to the man's, I'm assuming, girlfriend's house, where he once again inhales some food. Little finally speaks, but he won't say where he lives. And he doesn't say anything about that until the next morning. At that point, the man takes Little home, and Little's mother is suspicious. She eyes the man up and down and says, and who is you? Which, by the way, made the writer in me cringe, but okay. She wraps her boy in her arms, and the man replies, nobody. He is, in fact, a drug-dealing nobody that, well, nobody would trust with their kid. But that doesn't really stop Little. No, he shows up at the man's house again and again, and the man feeds him again and again. He talks to him, he teaches him how to swim, and then one night, as the man talks to one of his dealers, he sees a couple in a car about a half a block away, lighting up and using, well, his products. That's advertising, well, that he doesn't need and doesn't want, so he storms over to the car to put a stop to it, only to find Little's mom. He's horrified that she's actually an addict, and ashamed that, well, he's the reason why. He tells her to go home, and she thunders at him, so you're going to raise my son now? You going to tell him why the boys kick his ass all the time? Well, once again, how do we become? Are we puzzle or are we clay? And in my book, I think we're both. But sometimes it seems we're made of wounds that are seeping, scabbed, and scarred as we look for ways to make the pain go away. Now, Moonlight has some positive elements, and they're difficult to address because it is a complex and gritty context. There aren't any real heroes in this movie, no, just honest lives lived imperfectly. But in some of those imperfect lives, we do glimpse some moments of grace, kindness, and even redemption. The drug-dealing man, whose given name is Juan, well, he truly cares about Little's well-being. And he does serve as a much-needed father figure for the boy. Juan's girlfriend, Teresa, proves to be an even better avenue of support for the boy. As Little becomes the teen and becomes Chiron, Teresa allows him to sleep in the spare bedroom whenever he's not able to sleep at his own home. Chiron's only real friend, Kevin, gives him the support that he needs to get through the school day. And Chiron himself occasionally demonstrates kindness to his mother, a woman who, in my opinion, frankly, doesn't deserve it. Later on in the movie, she eventually realizes that she wasn't the mother that Chiron needed, when Chiron actually morphs into an adult and going by a new moniker, Black. We find her living in a drug rehab clinic in Atlanta, staying out of trouble and helping others stay clean. She, of course, apologizes to Black for the way that she raised him and tells him, you don't have to love me, but you gotta know that I love you. Now, going back to when Little was Little, when Little asks Juan if he, Little, might be gay, Juan tells him, you don't gotta know right now, not yet. But even before Little hits puberty, everyone around him seems to suspect that he is. His stone mother mocks him for the way that he walks, and it's suggested that she does call him a variety of slurs at school. The mocking doesn't stop when Chiron becomes a teen. No, tormentors taunt him in class for, well, needing a tampon, and laugh at his all-too-tight pants, and openly call him gay. Chiron's friend Kevin doesn't seem to hear or care, and he openly and crassly talks about his own sexual experiences with girls at school. Chiron, however, dreams about seeing Kevin engaged in sex with a girl in a scene with explicit motions and sounds. And then Kevin and Chiron wind up sitting by the ocean early one morning. They kiss, and audiences can see that Kevin unbuckles Chiron's belt. The camera moves to watch the couple from behind, and we don't see anything explicit, but it's very clear that Kevin manually stimulates Chiron. Now, as a teen, Chiron is plagued by bullies, and the bully ringleader actually forces Kevin to beat Chiron. Kevin hits Chiron several times in the face and begs him to stay down. Chiron keeps getting up. Blood seeps and spurts from his mouth, and eventually the other kids get involved, kicking the poor Chiron mercilessly. Chiron in the principal's office is a mass of cuts. Blood-drenched tissue is stuffed in his nose, and butterfly bandages hold together a severe cut on his forehead. And later on, we see him sink his bleeding face into a sink full of ice water. The next day, however, Chiron comes in late to class, picks up a chair, and smashes it over the ringleader bully. He hits the dazed boy several more times before he's finally pulled away, and we see him taken away by the police. And we also see the tragic toll that drug use takes on Chiron's mother. When we first meet her, she seems more mother than addict, encouraging her boy to read, to stay away from bad influences like Juan, but next time Juan drops little off, well, she's hurriedly cleaning up her drug paraphernalia off a table. Then he sees her getting high in the street. By the time that Chiron's a teen, well, his mom is demanding money from her and pretty much, you know, saying, "I'm not feeling good and I need something to help me out." She begins to yell at him, reaching into his pockets until she finds the cash that she's looking for. When Chiron comes home next, well, his mother is passed out on the couch, partly waking up when he pulls a blanket up over her. But despite seeing all of this, both Juan and Black, who Chiron eventually becomes, ends up selling drugs, of course, 20 years apart from each other. Neither seems to take them, though. For both, it's clearly just a business. But they do understand what a terrible business it is. And in one of the most powerful scenes, Little asks Juan if he sells drugs to his mother. Juan admits that he has, he silently just walks out of the room, leaving Juan to weep alone. And a decade later, Chiron, calling himself Black, returns to Miami to visit Kevin, his friend. The sexual tension is conveyed in glances and the occasional lingering touch, and it underlies most of this visit. Black admits that Kevin is the only man who's ever touched him, and he suggests that he's never been with anyone, male or female, since that one encounter. They don't kiss, but Black does rest his head on Kevin's chest and shoulder. And this is how they choose to end the movie. While I believe that Moonlight is a well-made movie with a very obvious agenda, the film grittily and unabashedly shows how Chiron is made to suffer for his own sexual inclinations. And on that note, I can only praise the filmmaker for showing how each of our lives would only be made better by living in a world that's more accepting to our own inclinations, sexual or otherwise. And truthfully, the movie was far more enjoyable for me than I thought it would be. So, with that note, we'll catch you next time, Renegade Nation. That's right. Catch us next time. And if you like this review, or if you have a comment, don't forget to let us know. Hey, you got a show, a movie, or a book that you'd like for us to review? Let us know. I'm not saying that we're going to, but let us know so at the very least we can make fun of you and mock you on the air. See you next time on Renegade Reviews here on Renegade Talk Radio.
We don't sugarcoat shit. This is Renegade Talk Radio. Renegade Talk Radio.